free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? Later on, switch on the TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wives, they feed us lies.
Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams is on.
Yes, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and we are here as promised. And thank the good Lord, we are here tonight for the next 2 hours, and we have a special program in store for you. Something that certainly is a very somber, very difficult subject to broach, and that happens to be, of course, the 38th anniversary of the USS Liberty ship being bombed and attacked, actually not only by air but by sea as well, by Israel in 1967. That was June 8th, and we have with us on the phones now one of the members of the USS Liberty Survivors Group, and I believe that's John Rankowski. Hello, John.
Hello, Rick. How are you?
All right. Very well. Thank you to come on the program. And
Thanks for having me. I appreciate that.
Well, it's not a first time. I was
right.
Going to say we've done this just about every year now for the last 4 years or so.
Right.
And it's been my pleasure to talk to you and to bring you aboard to talk to people about their concerns. And let me ask you before our first break, let me ask you a little bit about what, first of all, what was your position on the vessel?
I was part of the engineering department, and I was a boilerman on the ship.
Okay. And you, of course, survived the incident, but did you survive unscathed or uninjured?
No. No, I got my fill of shrapnel and oil burns.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just leave it there, but I got my share of wounds.
All in all, there were 34 sailors of your obviously your fellow Americans who were killed in that attack.
Right, officers and enlisted men.
And what about the number of seriously injured?
Up to date now is 173.
173, right?
Right.
Now, many of those came back, of course, with these wounds. What kind of medical attention did they get? Was it quick? Was it fast?
Well, we got medical attention the next day, but our doctor aboard the ship, administered whatever he could.
Yeah, right.
And God bless him, he did the worst got the first, and the rest of us we kind of took care of each other.
All right.
And then the real bad ones. 16 hours later, were transferred over to the USS America,
mm-hmm.
The ship that they just sunk recently, are going to sink in the ocean,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And make a reef off of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we caught up with them after 16 hours, and they finally took over and sent people aboard and sent our real bad ones, really bad injured. So they could get operated on over at on the America.
Okay, very well. All right, that's just a brief introduction.
Right.
When we come back, we'll have more time to talk and, of course, to invite callers as well. Tell the story of what happened on that fateful day, June 8th, 1967, and John Rankowski is our guest. John, thank you. Stay where you are. We'll be right back. I'm Rick Adams, Radio Avenger. We'll talk to you next.
With all the junk food, fast food, and pre-cooked meals out there, do people actually consume the nutrients that will improve their health? Everyone starts with good intentions. A few pills here, a glass of juice there, but what about an entirely new approach to wellness? What about a brand new market of nutrient delivery? Triathletes and marathon runners often down small packets of gel, providing a timely blast of energy. And why couldn't this exact system work for daily consumption of vitamins and minerals? It can. Through suspension gel technology, our daily nutrients can be taken anywhere, quickly and easily. Think about it. No glasses, no supersized pills, no waterlogged juices, no ineffective sprays and creams, just pure, concentrated nutrients in an easy-to-take, rapidly-absorbed, taste-bud-busting gel you squeeze in your mouth. A great way to get your daily nutrients. For more information to improve your health, call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055. Or go on the web at together.ws.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Turn to the program, Uncensored Radio Free America. And certainly one of the subjects that you will hear on Radio Free America that you will not hear too much about in the mainstream media, quote unquote, is a controversial subject like how an ally like Israel committed an atrocity. And certainly it was an atrocity that was never acknowledged as such. And let me ask our guest tonight, John Rankowski, who at the time of the attack on this reconnaissance ship, let me start off at the beginning, because John was an engineer in the boiler room. And John, let's, just to be a little bit esoteric, if you will.
Sure.
Let's start off with the history of this ship. I believe this was a World War II vessel originally, wasn't it?
Right. It was a Victory Hall ship. It was not a Liberty ship. It was a Victory Hall ship.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the U.S. or the S.S. Simmons, and it sailed in the Pacific. And it brought food and supplies to the Pacific fleet during
mm-hmm.
World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And she was put out of commission and mothballed. And mm-hmm. Back in 1963, it was, they took her out
yep.
of commission.
Yes.
And between 63 and 64, they loaded her up with equipment, the most modern day that they had, and antennas and listening equipment, and they made a spy ship out of her. She was a one of about 12 spy ships in the world for the United States Navy at that time.
Mm-hmm. And when you were on the Liberty, when did you go on? That year, was it in 67?
No, I was on in 66. March of 66, I got on there.
All right. Now, and you were in the same position during all this time? Or?
Right, right.
Okay.
Right.
And you were with, what, how many in total? How many on that ship?
The 294.
And with that... Was that number the same during the attack, or
yeah, that was the same. It fluctuated. That was the number during the attack. We could have up to 310 aboard the ship.
Okay.
But it would that during the attack was 294.
Now, you mentioned it was a spy ship. For those
yes.
who are listening, who are a little bit maybe naive or, you know, first-timers, what does that mean? That conjures up all sorts of nefarious images when
Absolutely.
We say spy ship. So why don't you tell us what that means to be a recon
as much
ship?
As much as I've known and as much as I have learned over the years, it was a listening post. That's the way they did business years ago.
Days before satellites.
Yeah, that's right. Days before satellite and days before computers. And, you know, it's they went around and they learned how to bounce messages off the moon back to the Pentagon. And what they did mostly is listen to the Russians, listen to Arabic, and find out what they were doing, and they were sending their information back to the United States. It's what they do today.
Mm-hmm. Now, whose decision was it and why to send the Liberty into the Mediterranean?
Well, I can't tell you why. Their war was imminent, or some action was imminent, but it was. McNamara and Johnson and that whole team in the White House and the Pentagon sent us there. And we were supposed to, we got called on May 23rd of 67 to leave the port of Abidjan where we were and go to Rota, Spain, pick up fuel, pick up supplies, and pick up some civilians. We went from there the next day and sailed till June 8th, from the 1st to the 8th, to off the coast of the Sinai. We were about anywhere from 12 to 15 miles off the coast where we were supposed to operate. And we set up shop, and they were listening.
The Israelis?
No, we were. Okay. Of course, the Israelis were listening to us, too.
And
but,
what were you listening to at the time? Can you tell us?
That I don't know. I don't know what... they were listening to, other than probably the war that was going on.
Now, all of this information, all this gathering of intel, this was what, like logged in? This was supposed to have been logged, right?
Well, that I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't work in the spaces there. From what I've heard over the years, it was paper and tape, anything that was picked up was immediately sent back to the Pentagon. We didn't do any breaking down of information.
You just relayed it back home.
Right, that was it. We were a listening post. We were their eyes and ears.
All right, so you weren't even aware necessarily, or many of you weren't even aware of what information you were picking up.
Absolutely.
So at the same time, you were unaware of what was to befall you as a ship.
We heard, you hear bits and pieces. We hear from the BBC that a war was imminent, and then the war had started, the Six-Day War had started, and Israel, had just mopped up everything. They just... took care of everything, and we thought it was over.
They had started a preemptive war, which they called a war of defense,
right.
And it was they who initiated the attack on Egypt. And
not,
of course,
if you ask them.
Well, no, I think you'll find their historians have said that they call it
finally
a preemptive attack, which means that they were about to be attacked in their language. They were they were the victim, of course, and they were going to end the war as quickly as they could. The Egyptian Air Force, most of it was destroyed before it even got off the ground.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the living proof of who really attacked whom.
That's true.
But then Jordan and, got involved, and the Syrians with the Golan Heights and so forth. This is very interesting what was leading up to it.
You bet. Mm-hmm. But as far as our ship was being there, we had every right to be there. We were in international waters.
Right.
People will say, oh, you're crazy, you know, you're not supposed to be there for 100 miles and this, that, and it's just baloney. A war zone is 3 miles in, and there was no declaration of a war zone, or they would have given it to the United States. So so we had every right to be where we are. We had every right to do what we were doing.
What time of day or night did this ungodly attack begin, and you were just totally shocked by it? What? When did it happen? When did it start?
This started right at 2 p.m., right in the afternoon. It was a beautiful day. People were actually sunning themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We had just got through with a general quarters drill, and we did that almost every day. Captain would always drill us, time us, and see, you know, how fast we'd get to our stations. And, of course, we knew that there was a war going on, and we had a, snap to, just, God forbid, anything should ever happen.
Now, in that event, God forbid that something's going to happen,
that's
what kind of defense did you have on the ship?
We had 450 caliber machine guns and a bunch of pistols and a couple of shotguns.
It sounds sounds like an ant trying to fight off an elephant. Huh?
We had nothing.
And now,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. As far as you being sitting ducks, what I'm getting at here, John, is what would be in an emergency? What would have been the protocol? What would have been dispatched to your aid?
Well, the carriers were less than 400 miles away, so we would have had at least a couple carriers. Full of planes, probably 24 to 36 planes could have come, and they were supposed to come to help us, but they were called back.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting ahead of the head of the war a little
bit here.
But they started out, they came in shooting Israel all morning long, even the night before. They knew we were there, and they surveyed us all morning. I mean, they got so close that we waved at them, and they waved back at us. And they had some slow planes. They had jets. And, you know, these people knew who we were.
Mm-hmm.
They had us marked. They actually admit they had us marked on their war board as the USS Liberty. And then it changed, of course, when the attack started. Then they said that somebody inadvertently took off the off the Liberty off the war board.
And the flag just disappeared.
Right.
And they couldn't see it, and all of a sudden,
Belonging
sunny skies became cloudy.
There were actually three flags. The story was there's two. We actually found out there was three flags, and we have all three of them now. The third one was actually just recently. Somebody gave it up, and we have that on display at Fort Meade. But back to the attack, they came in shooting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the gunboats as well.
Well, that was after the initial
attack.
That
was after the initial aerial attack.
Yeah, they hit us for probably 15, 20 minutes. The people who say different say it only lasted 5 minutes, but it was 15, 20 minutes of solid shooting with these planes, rockets, cannon fire, and napalm.
They napalmed
us too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Three canisters, one hit the starboard side.
Mm-hmm. All right. Stay where you are, John. Another break is coming up. And
right ahead.
I want people to know that John is going to also issue tonight a press release to the world on this program that he will announce himself when we come back. And as we continue the story of the Israeli attack on the USS Liberty, I'm Rick Adams, our guest John Rankowski, a member of the USS Liberty Veterans Association. We'll be right back with more and your calls.
Hello, this is Christine with BringEmHome.org. Are you a parent disinclined to seeing your sons and daughters used as mortar bait for the New World Order? With no end in sight to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, along with the looming possibility of an escalation of conflict into Iran and Syria, we need to send a definitive message to the warmongering politicians. Bring our troops home now. We have Bring 'Em Home magnetic ribbons, which are available in any quantity. Like the upside-down flag, these ribbons are inverted to symbolize a state of distress. Place these ribbons on your cars and help us wake up the sleeping public. Don't wait until the military draft is implemented. Don't wait until it's too late. Get your ribbons now. Your Bring 'Em Home ribbons can be purchased at rbnlive.com or at bringemhome.org or call 877-605-9200.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Rick Adams here reminding you, you can live pain-free now and without inflammation thanks to Dr. Cass Ingram's incredible new discovery, InflaEase. It actually eliminates the inflammation that causes arthritis, agonizing pain, and more. To order this amazing new product, call 800-243-5242. That's 800-243-5242. Order InflaEase today and be sure to mention Rick Adams.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. You've got the Radio Avenger on your side.
Hey, Rick Adams. Hey, turn your horse radio on. Rick Adams is on. Ouch!
Yes, indeed. Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio. And this is Uncensored Radio Free America, where we're talking about an issue that just won't die away. It won't go away. And it happens to be the aerial and naval assault upon the American reconnaissance ship, the USS Liberty, in international waters on June 8th, 1967. And with me is one of the members of the crew, a survivor of this one, and his name, of course, is John Rankowski, and you're welcome to call in a few moments. We'll start taking calls if you have questions or comments, but I guess you have put out a press release and are doing it right now, effective today. And you might want to tell us, John, exactly what this press release is all about.
Right, Rick. What we've done is for the past, we've been working on this for many years. And our attorney finally put it together. And it is a report of war crimes committed against U.S. military personnel from June 8, 1967. This is submitted to Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld, and it's been FedExed. We know he has it, and he has to answer our document. It's a 35-page document. You can read it for yourself on the Liberty webpage. It's USSLiberty.org or .com, either way. And it's just been put on there so people can take a look and see what it's all about.
So essentially, you are charging war crimes
against Israel, right? Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Good. That's a good move.
We we thought about it for many years, and they sure fit the bill. And our attorney is fighting hard for this thing for us.
Well, of course, you know, I don't know all of the legal wrangling that has to be worked out, but as you know, he who has the power basically controls all of these tribunals. And we
Absolutely.
Know that what's happened in the last several years, particularly the last two of this invasion of Iraq by the United States, has certainly echoed in many people's minds, including a lot of legal scholars, that the U.S. itself is in violation of international law, is in violation of all law pertaining to the Geneva Convention and so forth. And, you know, there are many avenues here, but Rumsfeld so far has pretty much indicated that he's going to do whatever Baby Bush tells him to do and whatever he feels he's going to do. And, you know, we've got soldiers now dying and coming home dying of diseases from depleted uranium. Yep. The Bush refuses to meet with most of them. And, of course, they've been given the back of the hand. So we know the devotion to the men and women in the armed services by this administration. I don't expect much hope from this crowd, to be perfectly honest with you, John. But God bless you.
You got
to
try.
For making the effort and doing what you have to do. Yes.
Well, there's 34 guys who can't speak.
That's right.
And their families still need some answers, and we need some answers.
Yes.
And the way they treated us, and the people that have come out for us recently, what's the last couple of years has been phenomenal. People who were part of the so-called testimonies that were taken, there one fellow, Captain Boston, who was one of the legal people in charge of it, he's come out and sworn an affidavit out saying it was all false. Mm-hmm. It was selectively rewritten. The logs were rewritten. Mm-hmm. The log books were rewritten.
You mean the logs and so forth?
Oh, yes.
So and they were tampered with by someone, huh?
Yes, they were tampered with, and so was the testimony. Testimony was taken and not taken when it should have been taken.
Mm-hmm.
And people who were, of course, they're getting old now, and they want to go with a clear conscience, too. They're coming out and they're telling these things. So,
you know,
we would love to be able to put it to bed. You know,
yeah,
we've got the
absolutely.
Questions.
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, 4 decades is long enough.
I think so.
Yeah. And, you know, we recently had on the program Tom Kimmel, who was the eldest living grandson of Admiral Kimmel in Pearl Harbor. And, of course, he'd done a lot of research for obvious reasons and shown without a shadow of a doubt how that was planned by the Roosevelt administration, but also the fact that Roosevelt and the government set up all these phony baloney inquiries, these so-called official 8 or 10 inquiries that really and truthfully were nothing more than pulp fiction as far as they were concerned. We've seen that now with the evidence that he's unearthed.
Been a lot of
official documents. Yeah, I mean, these are declassified government documents now, but who cares, you know, right?
Well, I care about this because we can't get our documents. They will not release anything to us.
Mm-hmm.
What has been released is garbage. There's a lot of information still there to be released. There's the Johnson papers that should have been released already.
Mm-hmm.
They're not releasing them.
Right. Absolutely.
So,
yeah. Now, I want to get back to that fateful day, because there's so much I want to ask you, and I hope you can stay with us through the program.
No, I'll do my best.
Okay, good. You know, I just want to recreate this whole day so that people listening can understand what an incredible shock it was and how it carried out. So stay with us, and we will be back with more Uncensored Radio Free America. This is Rick Adams, your host.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Most Americans want our government to control our borders, especially since 9/11. But amazingly, some political leaders want to do away with borders entirely, whether the American people agree or not. And they have a serious plan for accomplishing their aims while deceiving the public. It's called the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA, a huge power grab. If Congress approves the FTAA, our nation will be pushed down the same path that produced the European Union. There will be no more illegal immigration because there will be no enforcement of borders. Americans will lose control of their destiny as regional bureaucrats from corrupt political systems decide our future. Sound incredible? Check out the facts for yourself. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then tell Congress you want a better future for America. That's stoptheftaa.org.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
The Nighttime Ride of the Paul Revere of Talk Radio.
Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams is back.
Yes, we are back, and we're with John Rankowski. And John is one of the survivors of the attack on the USS Liberty. John,
yes.
Yeah, on that day, like you say, that around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, this attack commenced. What was the first? Was it a bunch of planes, Israeli jets flying over, bombing the vessel?
Yeah, there were Mysteers that, if I'm not mistaken, I think there were Mysteers or Mirages, one or the other, that came in first. Mm-hmm. They came in whichever the fastest. They came in shooting rockets right at the ship and their cannon fire. And they made quite a few passes, and then another set of planes came in, and
of course, hit us with more cannon fire and napalm.
Everybody was just in a panic situation, I imagine.
Well, everybody, we were just getting off of one drill, and all of a sudden this happened, so you're right back to the real thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're
yeah.
running for your space, for your spaces. And, of course, some people didn't make it. They got rid of the 50 caliber machine guns immediately. They know exactly where they were, and they killed everybody that was in them. And all this while, this 20 minutes, the three torpedo boats were edging on their way. And after they were done, they left, and evidently they reported that they seen. American flag, and they supposedly seen CTR-5. They said C, it's a G, CTR-5, and they went ahead with the attack anyways. But they, of course, they knew who we were. And the torpedo boats came in, and there was a little lull there, but the torpedo boats came in, and they just pulverized us with their machine guns, with their... I can't remember what caliber guns they had aboard, but I know they had machine guns. They had a bigger gun and pistols. They were picking off our guys with 45 pistols. They were circling the ship and picking guys off. And when we were at probably around 30 minutes into this thing, the ship was on fire, port and starboard, both sides. And we only had a few life rafts left, and we threw them over into the water, and Captain gave the word after the torpedo. I'm getting ahead of myself. They shot five torpedoes at us in one hit,
mm-hmm.
stopping the ship dead in the water, and killed 25 guys instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And they put a 42x46 hole in the starboard side of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the captain said, prepare to abandon ship, and the last three life rafts went in. And the torpedo boats moved right in close and shot up two of the life rafts. Thank God nobody was in them. And grabbed one of them and took them with them.
Who was the captain? Was it McGonagall?
Captain McGonagall, yep.
Okay.
He's dead now.
Yes, just a
yep.
few years ago, I note.
Yeah.
In the book, The Attack on the Liberty, or the
right.
Assault on the Liberty, by
right.
Commander James Ennis, I believe it was.
Right, Assault on Liberty, right.
Yes, The Assault on the Liberty. All of this was spelled out, and there was a foreword, I believe, by Admiral Moorer
right.
at the time.
Yes.
And is he still with us, or did he pass
He
on?
Just passed away, I think, about a year ago,
yeah.
and he was 100% fighter for us.
Yes, he was.
He knew even when he was CNO way back when, he told us that they told him if he wanted to stay CNO, he would let this thing die. And he did. He
mm-hmm.
he was the big cheese there. But
mm-hmm.
as soon as we hooked up in 82, he hooked up with us.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried everything in his power to get our country to look into this and didn't do it. But we have an awful lot of people... It is they that are really helping us.
Yes, you have. And
yep.
Looking back again on that date,
yep.
June 8th, and what happened, how long did this attack actually last until it was over?
The attack, okay, from start to finish, was about 75 minutes.
Wow.
Now, that's the attack. That's the shooting. The whole incident was about two and a half hours.
That is amazing.
Yep.
To withstand that over that period of time must have seemed like a week.
Well, you know, it seemed like an eternity.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
when you think it was done, you thought it was dying off. You hear, you know, rat tat tat, and where I was in the boiler room, these armor piercing shells were coming through, and they were hitting off the. Off the steel that was down there, got it look like fireflies. It was unbelievable because they had knocked out all the power, and They started. They knew where the boilers were. They were trying to pop them off, and they didn't. By the grace of God.
Did you, the crew and others on board, did you immediately suspect it was Israel? Could you tell? Were there markings on the planes and so forth?
Had no idea.
Okay.
There were no markings on the planes.
Right.
No.
Right. Exactly.
There were no markings. I never found out till 8 o'clock that night. They had a BBC, they had a radio up topside, and they just picking up the BBC. Mm-hmm. The BBC was reporting that Israel did this.
Mm-hmm. Now, at the time, how long do you think it took for the Pentagon to know, with radio communications, what was going on and what was their response?
Well, 9 minutes into our attack, when they started hitting us, with these rockets that were tuned in to the tuning coils of our antennas. So they knocked not only the guns, they knew the frequencies, and they knocked all the antennas. They were buzzing the sound, so we couldn't get anything off.
Mm-hmm. That was a strategic move.
It was a good move.
Yeah, it was planned that way.
So,
an accident.
9 minutes, we finally got a word out to the Sixth Fleet that we were under attack, and we needed help.
Uh-huh.
And immediately the Saratoga launched a set of planes, and they were called back.
Incredible.
I'm losing my mind here. Robert McNamara, Secretary of Defense.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another set that was off again on the Saratoga, and they were called back by the Secretary of Defense McNamara.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a third set. I guess they were going to try to get off, and we had a Admiral Geuss that got on the phone and wanted to hear right from the President. The President, this is what he told us. He says his thoughts were not for the ship. He did not want to embarrass an ally, those planes back. So
absolutely.
Our people knew 9 minutes, 9 to 10 to 12 minutes into the attack that we were getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have talked to people now that have been on those carriers and on those other ships, and they are just rip-roaring mad that they couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So they're on our side. They're trying to help us fight, too.
So you're under attack, and the United States government, rather than come to your rescue, would prefer not to embarrass the attacker.
That's what we were told by Admiral Larry Geuss.
Mm-hmm.
And that was told to our top officer, David Lewis. He'll tell you the same thing.
Oh, I'm absolutely familiar with it. I have read as much as I could stomach about the USS Liberty. And the thing that gets me angry is the fact that, you know, even in this day and age, you people are still, you, the survivors, are still the people who are the perpetrators. You're either anti-Semitic,
anti-Jewish,
anti-American, anti-everything except getting the truth out.
That's true.
People have written articles and books, most of them apologists for Israel, of course, that I have followed over the years. And, you know, it doesn't matter what book you go to, if it's an author who's got a Jewish name or an Israeli-sounding name, almost invariably, they will immediately take the cue and the line that's been fed them. Like, for instance, after the 9/11 situation, in the year 2002, I believe, there was an author by the name of Michael Oren, and he's written a few books. Now, he's an Israeli, rhetorician, but I picked up his book, and it was something like War on the Middle East, War in the Middle East in 67.
Yep.
And what I do is I generally go right back to the index, you know, first. I go to the index to see things like USS Liberty, look them up, and then see the reference, the pages about it. And he devoted a very short amount of time to the Liberty.
Right.
And what he said essentially is the standard operating line of the Israeli government at the time, that it was just an accident and case closed, you know?
Right.
And so I immediately got suspicious, and of course my antennae went up,
right.
And then I could see the drift of what he was trying to accomplish. Of course, Israel was the victim, and everyone else is the perpetrator.
Absolutely.
Naturally.
Absolutely, well, in this case, yes.
Yeah, and in war, too, in the Middle East, you know, that's always
been the line. We have emailed him many times, and we've told him to... write the truth. Stop writing these lies. And we've heard from him once, and that was it. And I can't even remember what it was, but it was something foolish.
Yeah, I mean, he's really one of the minor players. But, you know,
yeah.
You take someone like Jay Crystal, for instance.
Oh, geez.
I know that Jay Crystal.
That hurts. That's a name that hurts so bad.
Here's a guy that was involved with the government in the Navy himself, right?
Yeah. He was a reservist.
Uh-huh. So
he built himself as a fighter pilot, and he did not do any of that.
He wrote a book, The Liberty Incident, right?
Oh, yeah, The Liberty Incident. He wrote it against us, 100%.
And that book came out recently, a few years ago, and basically he spoke as if, my goodness, he was right there on the ship. He knew everything that happened and didn't happen. And
absolutely.
And I'm saying to myself, I don't take sides with anybody. I'm not a bigoted person or biased person in any way. I try to be fair and objective to everybody. I'm saying to myself, how can anybody pretend to walk in your shoes on that day, June 8th, 1967, and pretend to know more than the people who were there on the ship? And this galls me. It really aggravates me.
That's what he says. That's his research. He's been researching this 16 years and 13 trips to Israel and all this other baloney. We've invited him so many times to sit down and debate this with us and show us. And we've come up just recently with his cover of his book, that the photos that are on the front cover are they're doctored up.
Mm-hmm. Even the photos.
The photos are doctored up. So it's a crying shame that they just don't do the right thing and get this thing over with.
Because
we're not going to go away. We're going to die with this thing.
Yeah.
And I hope it doesn't happen that way.
Yeah. You know, I'm afraid guys like Crystal and Oren and, Bodansky and others, their love of Israel and Zionism is far outweighs their concern for justice.
It all really seems that way. I hate to be bigoted like that. But
it's not bigoted. It's just a fact.
It's a shame that I even have to say that in this day and time because, Israel has their problems. I feel for them to a certain extent. But we're part of one problem that they have, and damn it, they have to come out and do the right thing.
Right, absolutely. And, of course, the fact is that originally Israel did try to blame Egypt and Egyptian planes, and then they tried to say they mistook the Liberty for an Egyptian vessel. So they came up with a number of arguments that didn't seem to wash.
Absolutely. They were grasping at anything. And, and the big players like Moshe Dayan, they could care less. He didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't care one way or another. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, we think, we're almost positive he's the one that told him, go attack it, sink the ship.
Now, he was prime minister then? Or
no, he was general.
General Moshe.
He was a general. He was the big shot.
But Yitzhak Rabin was also involved, wasn't he?
Sure, Rabin was there. So was Sharon. They were there also.
Uh-huh.
They were worried about taking the Golan Heights.
Yeah, and James Bamford in his book, by the way, Body
fantastic.
Of Secrets,
fantastic.
He theorized, though, that one of the reasons for the Liberty attack was that apparently there was this mass slaughter of Egyptian POWs that had taken place, and that, of course, was a massive violation of Geneva.
Geneva, right.
Yeah, and that was his one of the things he speculated about. Do you have any feelings either way? Or?
I don't know if that's the situation. I know he wrote it. There were things that he has backed up, for what he's writing. He got it where he got his information. I don't know. We know it was El Arish, supposedly, and we were close to El Arish, and it's a mystery to us.
We're like the duck that was sitting there that got it and don't even know why the hell he got it. It wasn't hunting season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true, unfortunately. Right now, I'd like to take time to, if people who are listening now all across the Internet and across radio stations that pick us up and carry our broadcasts here on the network, Republic Broadcasting Network. If you'd like to ask a question or if you have a comment, something pertaining to these issues that we're talking about, the attack on the USS Liberty by Israel in 1967, by all means, now's the time to get on the phone. And I see your callers are lining up. Our number toll-free is 800-313-9443. Those of you who are newer listeners, who are not familiar with it, that's the number. Toll free, 800-313-9443. And I think because we're so close to this break in this hour, we'll give Drew from Arkansas a chance to talk right after the break with our guest, John Rankowski. And John, of course, is one of the veterans, one of the survivors of this attack. And John, of course, you know, he's not a young man anymore either. And he's not an old man, but he's not in his 20s anymore.
Right.
And he certainly wants to see this this handle and closure to come about. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Once and for all, a real investigation into the USS Liberty, no put-up job. All right, we'll be back with John and your calls on Uncensored Radio Free America. I'm Rick Adams, your radio avenger.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Radio Avenger here, extending to you an offer you can't refuse. Right now you can receive on one single DVD all three of Father John O'Connor's shocking new videos. The Synagogues of Satan, The End of the World, and his newest blockbuster, The Annihilation of America by the Puppets of the Zionists, postpaid for just $35. Learn what's behind the impending destruction of our nation and our way of life, and what you must do to prepare for the coming judgment. Father John O'Connor is the John Wayne of the priesthood. You need to heed his prophetic videos while there's time and learn what the evil forces of the New World Order are planning in these darkest days. You'll never be the same, guaranteed. To order the three videos on one DVD, email CatholicCounterpoint.com or call 610-853-8339. Just $35 postpaid for all three on one DVD. Once again, CatholicCounterpoint.com or dial 610-853-8339. Mention Rick Adams. All righty, we're back. 800-313-9443 is the number. Let's take some calls. John, are you ready for some phone calls?
Yes, sir.
Okay, John Rankowski is our guest. Hello, Drew from Arkansas. How are you?
Sir, God bless you, John. A former major United States Marine Corps salutes you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Glad to see that there are some survivors to bring out the truth of this tragedy of Thursday, June the 8th, 1967. There's a lot of ramifications out of this, and I've got one question and some comments.
Yes, sir.
One question is, as I understood it, as an 18-year-old high school graduate in college, that this was attacked by unmarked aircraft, including torpedo boats, and that the USS Liberty was flying her standards, i.e. the flag of the United States, well in the wind as the Liberty was headed into the wind when the attack first took place.
Absolutely.
Is that all true?
Yeah, well, you're partially correct there. Of course, we were flying the flag. She stood out there in about a 12-knot, 5 to 12-knot wind, and the planes that came over were not marked. The torpedo boats, there was so much smoke around the ship you couldn't see them anyways.
Okay. And then my comments were that, if I'm not mistaken,
yes,
was it not true that the commanding officer of European or American forces was McCain's father?
You're correct.
McCain?
You're correct.
Yes.
He was in charge of Euro forces, yes.
And was Rear Admiral, wasn't Rear Admiral Kidd, and McCain did the inquiry out of NATO at that time?
Yes, they did. Admiral Isaiah Kidd and Captain Robert Boston.
And my comment,
Boston.
My comment about this is that the cover-up began because, from what I see today, Senator McCain is one of the chosen few that the Israelis really like.
Right.
And something began back in those days.
Yes.
And what in your gut, because I know you men were ordered. I talked to several sailors later on in my career in the Marine Corps that reiterated that they were ordered to keep their mouth shut.
2 hours after the attack, it started.
Is that how fast it started?
Yep. Our officers got word right after the attack, 2 hours after.
While the blood was still coming out of the bodies.
Right. Men were still dying. They were ordered to keep their mouth shut.
They were telling us not to talk to our anybody we were laying next to if we were injured or if we were working next to. Don't talk about the attack. Just keep on working, and you'll get your chance to say it eventually.
Yeah.
I was told by a man that later became a general in the Marine Corps, he advised me that at that time the president, Lyndon Baines Johnson, had issued an emergency order of from the Saratoga to strike back at these, quote, Egyptians who have started World War III on our shore.
Well, that's new one on me. I'm not sure. I've heard, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, the bottom line is that it was Johnson, and he did recall the aircraft once the Israelis once it was known the Israelis was there.
Well,
and you guys were ordered to shut up.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Right.
Oh,
that's right, Drew.
Can we do? What can we do to help you get the word out? Because this is for almost 40 years, people have died wrongly, and even Golda Meir was still floating around. Even though she wasn't in power, she still had controlling power.
That's right. What I'm asking for our people to do is
all right. Hold that thought, because we got a break.
I'll listen to it after.
Drew,
the break.
Thank
God
you
God
for
pleasure.
Your call from
thank
Arkansas.
You.
All right, hold your thought and tell us what we can do when we come back in the second hour. And I'm Rick Adams. We'll be right back.
Did you read this? Chicago just became the murder capital of America.
I don't understand. It's been a felony to have a gun since 95. I thought that was supposed to prevent murders, not increase them.
Criminals will always find a way to get guns, while the rest of us are just left defenseless.
Chicago authorities have seized over 75,000 firearms since 1995. And now, Chicago's murder rate is twice as high as New York City. Tonight, while you're asleep, criminals will be at work.
Not in Kennesaw, Georgia. In 1982, our city passed a law requiring every household to have a gun. It terrified the criminals, and our violent crime rate is now 75% below the national average. We sleep well here in Kennesaw.
Americans who own guns prevent over a million violent crimes every year and save lives. Get the facts. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.